you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you. Hello, Salem. I'm Stacy Ann, hanging out with you on this wonderful Wednesday. And it's already the second day of December and a Wednesday to boot. So glad to have you along. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Wednesday and every day, here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you. And I want to say thanks to all of you that responded yesterday. We had 15 different individuals that responded to our Day of Giving with the Salvation Army. We hit almost $1,000, not quite. And I want to say thanks for giving. And I also want to say that there's an opportunity as well. We found the link. I've got the link for the Toy and Joy opportunity to volunteer. Remember, they were talking about doing the toy drive and needing people to help at the warehouse. And if this is something you and a group can do or want to do, you can sign up. I've just put the link on our Facebook page. And it's kind of long, so it's a little hard to just talk to you about, but they have all kinds of opportunities to sign up, and they're still in great need of help. You can also give them a call, 503-798-4876. This is the Toy and Joy Salvation Army Drive, and it's coming up on dates on December 12th and December 15th, and there's lots of opportunity to serve. So thank you again for participating in our Day of Giving. It was a wonderful, wonderful time. Lots in the news this morning, and certainly I want to encourage each and every one of us. As an individual, I didn't have an opportunity to meet during the campaign, but I've heard great things about, and we'll talk a little bit more about her a little bit later on today. But all our prayers go out to Bud Pierce with the loss of his wife, Selma, who has run a couple times for a House seat in the West Salem area. And she last night, unfortunately, was hit by a car, and we lost her. And I have heard from many, many of my friends here in the Salem area what an incredible, kind, community supportive individual she is. And just a couple days ago, in fact, I was working on trying to get him in on the show, Bud Pierce. He's just announced to run for governor in 2022. And so all of these developments, I'm sure, for their family have been terrible tragedy. And so let's keep them in our prayers as we move through our day in the next few weeks as well. And certainly it's just, again, a reminder how precious our family is, that we can never take anything for granted, and how important our faith is, that when everything is upended in our lives, that we have our faith and our foundation and our love of our family. So this morning, I have been wrestling, and I know you have too, over the last month or so, or couple months actually, maybe all year, with the social media censoring. Anytime we try to share truth or information that we find that others need to know about what's happening in the election on the national level or even local level, when we're talking about COVID-19, it seems like every time I share something, it has a little attachment to it. You know what I'm talking about? Like a fact check or truth finder, or even our KSLM radio page. Here's something interesting. I'd reshare the show plan from our wonderful Jeff Croft in the morning, and it would be fact checked, and so much so that they're like, you're violating, and if you keep it up, you're going to, you know, basically we're being shadow banned. So it basically told us that our audience would be limited because we've been sharing unfactual things. Well, I come across this clip, and I thought it was really interesting, and I wanted to share it with you. And if I can pull it up here, it was very eye-opening for me that what is happening, and I'll have to, I think I lost it. I'll have to come back to it in a little bit. Oh, here it is. So I'm going to play this. This is Dan Bongino. I love this guy. He tells it as it is. So listen to Dan here.
Fake book fact checks it, people are more likely to believe it, because fake book is so fake, and so is Twitter. But I'll address this more tomorrow, because there's a bigger story here about fact check. You know the fact checks I've been telling you about forever that happen on Facebook and Twitter, and they only seem to happen to conservatives, and their fact checks are in fact so absurd. Did I not say this, Paula? Remember this show? where the fact checks that they're doing on Facebook and Twitter to get your voice silenced on Facebook and Twitter, if you're a conservative, have had the absolute opposite effect. How now conservatives read a liberal fact check on Twitter on a conservative post and believe now that the facts displayed are even more accurate in contrast to the fact check, and that's why Facebook's concerned. You remember, Joe, you remember this show?
Yeah, I do, as a matter of fact, yep.
I know you do, because I was complaining to you the whole day about it afterwards. Mm-hmm. Now we have data to back it up that that's actually what's happening. This is hilarious, this story, in the Wall Street Journal today. I'll cover it more tomorrow because it involves Candace Owens and how she fought back and won, but we'll do a little tease today. Wall Street Journal editorial board. The social media fact check farce. They go right to the screenshot because the screenshot is just beautiful. So Twitter and Facebook fact check conservative pages. They're fake fact checks. And they do it to suppress your reach. They use it to silence and throttle your page. It's become so ineffective at fact-checking that it's had the opposite effect. Check this out. This is great. So they did this study at Boston University and Cornell, where volunteers were shown a May 26 tweet by Trump attacking mail-in voting, and it had one of these fact checks. The tweet said, mailboxes will be robbed, ballots will be forged, and even illegally printed out and fraudulently signed. These groups of participants, Joe, were shown the corrections, air quotes, to Mr. Trump's tweet, including Twitter's explanatory text. In other words, their fact check. Look what happened. Conservatives did not find mainstream media assurances convincing. Oh, that's a shocker. For Republicans who were shown Twitter's effort to debunk the president's belief that mail-in fraud was 13% higher than in the control. The belief that the mail fraud occurs was more than 13% higher than the control. I read that totally wrong. Or in other words, the authors put it, the corrections by Twitter increased misperceptions amongst those predisposed to believe President Trump. In other words, we think Facebook and Twitter are so fake that when Twitter and Facebook do a fact check on the president, their supporters are 13% more likely to believe the president's tweet. Arrowhand, nice job, Twitter and Facebook. Well done. Well done. You're so good at this. And by so good, I mean so terrible. What a bunch of idiots. I told you this was going to happen. Now we have the data to back it up. Facebook fact checks it. People are more likely to believe it because Facebook is so fake and so is Twitter. Nice job. What a bunch of idiots. You had one job. What a bunch of idiots. I'll get into the fact check tomorrow with Candace Owens, how she fought back and won, because these fact checks are fake. They're fake.
I love Dan Bongino, and he just says it how it is, and it's so good to be sharing on our Facebook. I guess I was encouraged a little bit. I think that I'm going to keep sharing, and I'm going to keep letting Facebook fact check me and do all their things, because I think my understanding from that is really when it gets out there, people are going to dig in a little deeper and they're like, what are they afraid of in this post? What is the truth here? And I think that's important. And it's important, friends, that we find those sources in our community of information and media that really tell the truth and tell it how it is. And I am so excited to introduce to you today in the studio with me to hang out for this hour and next hour, a gentleman that I met online, and I had been following him and his posts, and we became friends, and we're just meeting for the very first time here in the studio. His name is Ben Fisher. Hello, Ben.
Good morning, Stacey.
How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
How did you have to scrape on your windshields to get here this morning?
A little bit. Uh-huh. I let the car warm up.
Yeah, that's what we did too. It's a chilly morning, friends. In fact, I wanted to let you know the weather. It's currently about 35 degrees. It's warmed up. Well, 34. Now it went down. That's interesting. It went down a degree. So it's a little chilly here in the studio too. But we'll see the sun today. It'll be about 50 degrees. But I always ask people when they come in, what's the roads like this morning? You know, because it's pretty early and usually there's not a lot of people out on the roads, but it was chilly.
Well, it's busy. There's people driving out there. It's like they have something better to do than be locked down.
I know. Like. They're not being so obedient these days. It has been interesting. I remember the very first time the lockdown happened, driving down Lancaster Boulevard. It was like ghost town.
Pretty dead.
And
then.
Downtown ghost town. And everybody really, the unknown, right? We didn't know about this pandemic and what it was exactly.
Yeah.
First, when it first came out. So everybody really was on a lockdown. And now when she comes out, she being Governor Brown, comes out with all these new twists and turns. And we don't know if we're coming or going, even if we wanted to be, you know, totally compliant. It's so confusing right now with all of the updates. And I keep thinking of all of the wasted spending and all the charts and all the things that they're doing to inform people, all the cute little flyers and things they're building or paying somebody to build and thinking that money could go to help the unemployment, you know, get the money out to the people.
The contact tracing's turning out might be a huge waste of money.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. Well, Ben, thank you for joining me today. And let's talk a little bit about you and talk to me a little bit about who you are and what you do. When you pulled in, you must have your own business, because I saw a business advertisement on the back of your rig there.
I do. I am an automotive electronics repair guy. I fix instrument clusters. There's not very many people around that do it, but I've been doing it for about 9 years now, and I run my own business in the area, Speedy Dash Repair.
So okay.
I fix instrument clusters and some other electronic modules.
All right. So if you have a little hiccup in your electronics in your car or your truck or that kind of thing, you help with that, right?
I can fix a lot of stuff.
That's fantastic. Well, that's good to know, because the handyman and people that can work on cars can never go wrong having them
skill.
As your friends. Yes.
Yep.
And figuring those things out. So that's what you do for work.
Yes.
And then you do some other things on the side. What else do you like to do?
Yes. Well, I'm a seventh generation Oregonian, and I'm descended of one of the founders of Oregon.
Oh.
Baptist abolitionist Reverend Ezra Fisher. So
okay.
He was his son, Ezra Timothy Taft Fisher, was one of the first serving Republicans in Oregon legislature in the 1860s.
Okay.
So I kind of throw in with the Republicans these days, and I do a lot of volunteering and helping with campaigns, and I just try to see if we can get little wins here and there at the local level.
So you're a seventh generation Oregonian, and
yep.
And where is home? What part of Oregon?
Well, so I've grew up all over Oregon. So my family first showed up on winter solstice, December 22nd, 1845, so 175 years ago, mm-hmm. at the West Union Baptist Church in Hillsboro, Oregon, which is the first Baptist church built west of the Rockies.
Incredible.
Yes.
Wow, what a family heritage.
And I married my wife there 4 years ago, so
how fun. And yep. Her name is?
Sabrina Marie.
And you guys are expecting your first baby.
We are. We have a little girl that's due on New Year's Eve.
Oh.
It's Liliana Marie Fisher will be here.
On New Year's Eve.
Yeah,
that's when the due date is. So we'll see if it'll be this year or next year.
Right. Hard to say.
I know with my grandbabies, each time that they were due, we'd all make our guesses and see who got the closest. And it's certainly an experience. And I'm so glad that you get to experience this. This will be fantastic. How's it been going so far?
Oh, staying busy, getting ready for the baby. It definitely
everything
takes
about
a lot
the
to
baby.
Get ready.
Oh, that's awesome. We're going to continue the discussion after this break. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I am Ben Fisher here. We've got lots to talk about. We're going to get into some of the things going on nationally, locally, and how we can stay informed with the truth by what we read. We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Stacey Ann hanging out with you on this fantastic Wednesday, December 2nd already. And I want to say thank you to Dave and Paige Smith, Realty One Group, Willamette Valley, ready to go above and beyond to serve you and your real estate needs. Give them a call, 503-939-7099. Continuing the conversation this morning with Ben Fisher. Ben, so excited to hear about your Oregon history, seven generations. And I'm guessing there's a pretty good document that documents their journey all the way, you said, from Massachusetts? Is that where they came from?
Well, yes. My grandfather was a doctorate Baptist reverend from mm-hmm. Massachusetts. He was one of the first students of the Newton Theological Seminar in the 1820s.
Incredible.
But he made his way out through some of the states, and he founded a Franklin College, and he ended up founding what became Linfield College, and and a whole bunch of churches along the way through Indiana and Illinois. And so he wrote a journal, and it's a book, The Correspondence of Reverend Ezra Fisher. You can get that online, and I've read most of it. It's pretty fun for me to read. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a lot of it's statistics and stuff that he was tracking and stuff of the area and things like that. But
what an interesting thing. I love history to begin with, and in my history I have relation going back to Supreme Court Justice Marshall, and when they told his funeral, the Liberty Bell cracked at his funeral. So that's another connection, and so you hold onto those things, you know, in your family. And so, what an incredible story! And I know that when Oregon was settled, the first occupants and a lot of the people on the trail that came over were very faith-filled people, right? They mm-hmm. had a lot of strong belief in liberty in our state. Talk to us a little bit about your grandfather and his desire for liberty here in Oregon.
Well, he was the main advocate for Oregon being a liberty state. He's one of the 158 founders of Oregon, so his name is honored in the Senate gallery right above the door there as you walk in. If you could access the Capitol, as the public can't.
Oh,
right
I know.
Now,
and, you know, the Capitol closed off, and it has been all these months.
It's terrible.
I have to be honest, I was looking forward to a Christmas in the Capitol because I have great memories of going to high school here. And we would go with Mr. Frame, who was our choir director, and we would go to the rotunda and we would sing, and that echoing and the beautiful tree. And it was such a neat, we would stand on the stairs, and it was such a neat experience and a memory that I was looking forward to going there and maybe watching other students do this, and it's all closed off. But I saw something on the news that they're still going to decorate it. Now, that makes no fiscal sense to me. If it's closed to the public, why would you decorate it for Christmas? That again, that's like those things that can make you go, right?
I think they like spending money.
Something. You gotta keep everybody busy, I guess. So this is your history. Now, growing up, your dad sit you down, your mom sit you down and say, this is our history? Or how did you, were you interested from a little guy all the way up? Or how did that work?
No, I knew I kind of had a deep family history in Oregon growing up. I didn't really get into it until later. About 10, 15 years ago, I started digging up all this, which was pretty easy to dig up for me, fortunately. Mm-hmm. But I've kind of taken on the role of the family historian. So if you want to go find a fact about the Fishers, come to me and I can tell you our history all the way back to England in the 1500s.
I love it. We've been watching on TV the series The Crown and talking about history from England and understanding. And of course, we understand it's drama. So they fill in the blanks, you know, and probably add to. So you have to go and do fact check yourself to make sure, did this really happen or not? But
right.
But wow, just a perspective of a family lineage through the generations and how things happen and secrets and, you know, successes and celebrations and sad grief too, you know.
Reverend Ezra is my great, 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 great grandfather. So I dig in just a little bit. I found out that his father, Sergeant Aaron Fisher, served with the Lexington militia at the American Revolution.
Wow, that's incredible. Well, I think it's neat that you'd be able, and now with your daughter on the way and being able to pass that on to the next generation.
She will definitely hear stories.
Yes, it's incredible. And so the church that was founded in Hillsboro, is that right? And it's still there, and you were married there, right?
West Union Baptist Church. There's still a small congregation that meets there.
Oh, that's incredible.
The Church of Christ.
Okay.
It's not a Baptist congregation,
now,
but there is still a small congregation that meets there.
There's ministry happening.
Yep.
That's the main thing, and it continues forward, right?
Yep.
The vision continues forward, and so that's your lineage there. You're here in the Salem area, or where are you located?
I just moved from we both moved from Woodburn down to Salem here.
Okay.
So I run my business in the metro, and Woodburn's nice and central, but we wanted a new place to get ready for the baby, so.
Aww.
So Salem's still nice and central here, and we've got a new place. So we've been here in Salem, same house district, and I'm basically in some of the same voting districts.
Okay.
But it's pretty close in, but
That's awesome.
It's closer to the Capitol.
And we're blessed to have you. And as we continue the conversation this morning, I want to dig a little deeper as to how you've gotten involved here locally and the things that you're doing and how we're building awareness and building hopefully our party so that we will sound out the call that it's time to get engaged and get involved and have a strategy. And I want to kind of run by some of the issues. You know, I had an opportunity just to move back in January. I went to high school at Sprague, you know, graduated. I've been gone 30 some years, went to college and then moved to South Dakota, finished college, and then went on to Arkansas. So I've been gone, and we had an opportunity to come back almost a year ago, and we said yes. We got back the end of January, and then guess what? The pandemic happened right after I started here at the radio station. And so we've been limited in a sense to connect. If it wasn't for the gift of the radio station, I would not know all the people that, because I've been able to dig and say, hey, come talk to me, you know. And so it's been in a journey, certainly. But you know what I love about this, Ben, and our community, and especially our conservative community, is we are so welcoming and so willing to grow together and to do some good things, you know. And we had the pandemic, then we had the fires that have happened, and now another freeze. And we're looking for ways to continue to get our positive message out and continue to help one another despite all of the craziness that's happening all around. And
it's important.
I have a few questions in regards to the election and nationally that's going on too. So we'll be back after this, friends. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, hanging out with Ben today. And we're going to open up the phone lines, the last little segment of this hour. If you want to join the conversation, 503-589-1220. We'll be back after this.
Hello, good morning. How you doing?
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day.
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Together on this cool morning. 34 degrees at the KSLM studios, 736. Going to warm up to about 49 degrees. And if you haven't been out to your car already, if you have anywhere to go, you'll have to probably scrape a little bit on your windshield, warm it up before you go on your way. So allow yourself plenty of time this morning. You know, we started out this whole show this morning talking with Dan Bongino on video, talking about fact-checking and on Facebook. And he had mentioned, and I pulled this up, that Candace Owens filed a lawsuit against USA Today and Facebook for their third-party fact-checkers. In fact, she is being targeted by fact-checkers and has filed a lawsuit against Facebook and USA Today based on some of her content being flagged on social media. Owens, no stranger to controversy, posted a video on her Twitter page and has also created a website, Fact Check Zuck, to solicit donations to help fund the lawsuit she decided to file against those who are trying to bring legitimate claims that may not be factual. She is suing two defendants, USA Today and Lead Stories Fact Checker, both of which are partners with Facebook. The fact checkers apply ratings to content and apply labels such as false, misleading, or missing context. It is time to fact check the fact checkers. Owen said in a video, I think the fact checkers are cowards. I think Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg is a coward, and I love that I'm on his platform raising money to go after his fact checkers. and Candace said, I had watched a little bit early on where she was talking about wanting to do this, and she said, you know, I've got the resources, I've got the momentum, I've got the awareness. Where I can do this, whereas local people in local races and people trying to get the information out may not. So I'm going to go forward with this. And I think it's really important. And you remember the story. I've got Ben in the studio with me, Ben Fisher, who has a long history of Oregonian ties, right? Seven generations. And he knows the kind of landscape here politically and what's been happening over the years. And it is interesting, Ben, when you think about trying to put the information out there and you try to figure out sharing stories and things. I have had some of my stories from Epic Times that I've shared fact-checked or blocked or shadow banned or whatever you talk. And then my emails coming from them as a news source are now labeled spam. Hmm. So there's this whole attempt to censor how we're getting information. And so I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this effort that you're involved in here in Oregon to help Oregonians get the facts, Jack, right? Get the information and share with their friends and family. Talk to us a little bit about this effort that's going on.
Yes, well, there's not a lot you can do. Relying on the mainstream media, you're going to come across a lot of leftist bias. And we don't really have too much for conservative news sources here in Oregon. So now, this year, myself and others have started contributing to a publication called Northwest Observer. So we're covering things that a lot of other people just aren't covering yet, and we're pretty reliable news source compared to your pretty opinionated Willamette Week and your Statesmen and do nothing but put their opinion out there constantly. We're a source driven of
what's going on. Here's
local
the fact. This is what's going on.
To Oregon and the Northwest
and affecting and the infection that's going on. We're not talking about COVID-19. It's the mass hysteria and the fear mongering that's going on in our state and making, you know, again, just laying it out. Here's where we're at in a state of the state. And I love that. I also we've had on the radio here Jeff Reynolds, you know,
he's
and
great.
He's written for PJ Media, and there's some great stories and it's fun. My background. Back in 2004, we had an opportunity, a couple of us in South Dakota, to do something similar called the Dakota Voice.
Oh, great.
And that was when Thune had run the race, kicked out Daschle. And one of Thune's district managers or whatever that he hired him on, he had this publication. He was just going to let it fizzle. And we're like, no, let us. And he just turned it over to us. And it started out as a regular paper that we printed. But that's kind of went away, even in the early 2000s, that was going away more to an online format. The cost is high, isn't it?
There's hardly any printed publications out there. That's maybe nice to do once in a while, but everybody wants to read everything online, and there's breaking news updates every hour, and there's always breaking news these days.
So how do they find this publication online? Is it a website?
It's at northwestobserver.com.
Okay.
And you can find us on Facebook as well and on Twitter. Mm-hmm. But you can go to northwestobserver.com, subscribe to our email updates, and you can catch our daily stories.
Oh, good. And so you're writing for them?
Yes.
And what kinds of things do you cover?
I write a wide array of topics on there, but I tend to catch a lot of crime stories lately here in Oregon. I don't know if maybe that's just because crime is trending up.
Well, yeah, I saw a story
around Portland.
Yeah, did you hear that? Like the auto theft is like off the charts in the Portland area. That was crazy. And what other things are we finding? Well, you know, riots/protests.
Looks like protests. Shootings are up threefold in Portland and nearly threefold for the year. Compared to last year, and we've seen nothing. You know, a district attorney that announces he won't prosecute criminals. So it's no doubt that we're going to see further problems.
Do you think him announcing that during the protests/riots, more like riots/protests, or so they say, protests? Mm-hmm. Do you think that's like a calling card for people to come between that and the drug? Now the no penalty really for having drugs on your possession. Do you think that's a calling card for those kinds of folks to maybe come?
It certainly does invite the behavior. I think where else can you go somewhere with no consequences?
And it really is an open season here to kind of do whatever you feel like in Oregon.
Sadly, and people aren't feeling safe.
And the difficulty with that, Ben, is that those kinds of behaviors are reinforced, and yet those of us who want to walk in liberty and freedom and just go to work and do the right thing with our families, and if we don't want to wear a mask, we're suddenly the criminals, right?
Yeah, we're conspiracy theorists.
Yeah, we're the...
If you're wearing a bunch of headgear around your face and walking around with a big helmet on, you're normal.
Yeah, it's so crazy, and I seem to remember, and I'm sure your great-great-grandfather remembered reading this even in the Bible, you know, the times where they call evil good and good evil, right? Mm-hmm. It seems like that's kind of the times that we're walking in, and as we talk about that and we talk about getting information and standing strong, I am a firm believer, man, that if we have the facts and we know the facts, we don't operate in that fear and emotion, right?
Correct.
We stay grounded. I mean, fear is a normal emotion. It's kind of, it safeguards us in a sense. But when we're manipulated by it or told we should be fear-filled, that's trouble to me.
Yeah, a lot of situations just need some light shined on them, and and the fear should go away.
So, on this Northwest Observer, the articles are come out every day.
Yes,
then?
Every
okay,
day.
Okay,
we're daily.
And is it a subscription-based magazine or a newspaper?
You can get the email subscriptions.
Okay.
They're awfully handy. They give a rundown of what articles come out each day. Mm-hmm. You got to watch the website and the Facebook page for all the updates as they come out.
And is there opportunity to advertise with it as well?
Oh, there will
potentially?
Be.
Okay,
yes.
So this is just, we're kind of at the grassroots ground level.
Yes, we are.
I love
just getting
it.
Going, but we're not going away. We're in the long game. My family's been here 175 years, and it's nice to leave a legacy behind.
I absolutely agree with you. That's incredible. So now you've also helped, and you've been in the State House before, working in behind the scenes. Have you done some volunteering?
I help some legislators at the Capitol. I've done a lot of volunteering for campaigns and for initiatives in the past.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of important initiatives out right now where there's a lot of emergency clauses used by the legislature, the supermajority Democrat legislature in Salem. They just put an emergency clause on something if they don't want to have to wait for the effects of it to take hold. So they slapped the emergency clause on, and it's been way overused. So you can go to nofakeemergencies.com, and you can go and print and sign a single signer sheet and get that put on
the next ballot. Yep. I love that. So there's been rumor, and I don't know if it's confirmed. Maybe you can help me with this. Is there a session called a session in December?
That rumor keeps floating around.
Okay.
Tina Kotek is wanting it, and Kate Brown hasn't said she won't do it. And of course, they're going to do it via Zoom if they do it.
So
they won't call legislators to the Capitol or anything. But it's hard to say. I mean, the lawn session is just around the corner.
When is that supposed to start?
In January.
Okay. Yeah. So that's around the corner in January. And a long session, and I'm learning all of this. This last winter was short session.
Yes.
And it was designed by the people to be a fix-it year, right? And not do major legislation, right? Is that what the short session was supposed to
be? There can be legislation go through in the short session. They're supposed to really fix it during the long session. It's supposed to be a budget year. So during the odd number years, it's your long session.
And that's can go through June, July, right?
Well, with all the budget woes that we have from all the revenue loss and everything with all the lockdowns ordered, it's hard to say. Some of our revenue forecasts look all right, but it could be pretty bleak going forward. And she wants to spend more, though, still on pet projects. So.
And the difficulty is in looking at the Statesman, I'll have maybe during this next break, I'll have you take an eye at it if you haven't had a chance. But they're talking about the budget. And some of the things that I saw initially was she wants to close down some of the prisons.
She wants to close Warner Creek, Shutter Creek, and another smaller prison here in Salem, and that's three prisons she wants to close in a year and a half, and that's going to devastate a lot of rural communities.
Well, and that's their livelihood. And I remember hearing even yesterday a little bit of the press conference, and I don't know if you had a chance to watch her press conference yesterday.
Unfortunately,
rumor is she got up and left.
She had some flubs.
True?
It was kind of hilarious.
We can talk about that when we get back. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Wednesday and every day. We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day. This morning.
You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Together on this Wednesday, I'm Stacey Ann, hanging out with Ben, and we're talking about how to stay informed on what's going on and getting the information that we need so we can let our friends and family know and certainly know the talking points. And in talking about yesterday, there was a press conference again with Kate Brown, and she there was a lot of technical difficulty, and I got messages on it, and I went to try to find it. And it'd be interesting if any of our listeners have the clip or were able to record it. I'd be interested in grabbing that from you. Certainly is interesting times, but it was revealed yesterday that she's pretty dependent on a teleprompter. And Ben, I don't know if you had a chance to kind of watch what had happened yesterday.
It was hilarious.
It was pretty interesting. And y'all, you remember 2 weeks ago, this was her. This was what she sounded like 2 weeks ago. Let me see if I can get this clip playing here.
I am not asking you, I am telling you to stop your social gatherings, your informal social gatherings and your house parties, and to limit your social interactions to six and under, not more than one household. And I'm asking that immediately. I will take stronger legal action as appropriate. I've already directed the superintendent of state police to begin to work with local law enforcement to legally enforce the informal social gathering order. Preparations.
So that is Governor Brown telling us, she's not asking us, she is telling us. And, you know, Ben, during this whole time, I have felt this lockdown. I mean, initially, again, we talked about this earlier. Initially, it was like, yes, we don't know what's going on. This is dangerous. We don't know how this is spreading. We didn't have enough information.
Can't blame somebody that doesn't
and
know.
All of us, I mean, that makes sense in her actions. But if you remember, the first like 6 weeks, 8 weeks, she was absent. It was like, where is Governor Brown? I mean, where? Here we are in lockdown, and we're all, where is she? She was like nowhere to be found. And then she popped her head up, and then weekly started new things and new ideas and all of that. And then they changed how they're tracking the data. And they, again, just this last week, they've
changed the terminology.
Changed it again. And it has been very frustrating.
Very Orwellian this year in Oregon.
Oh, no kidding. No kidding.
It's odd that a year down the road, China had this a year ago. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of preparation. A year at this point, December 2020, we have no, our governments are doing nothing but just shutting down businesses. That seems really regressive. It doesn't seem like
it's
that's going to be sustainable.
I read this morning Kellogg Bowl. Do you know about Kellogg Bowl? They're up in, I think, the Milwaukee area up in Portland. 59 years of family history, this bowling alley. They didn't survive. They're closing.
It's terrible. The businesses are dropping like flies out there in Oregon right now. It needs to open up.
The businesses of families who've sacrificed for generations that have started are not surviving. And yet there are others that are thriving. You know, you think about the people in the construction field. That hasn't stopped, and that's great. You know, in the automotive field,
some people can't stop working.
Right.
Farmers and ranchers can't stop
working. Farmers and ranchers, but how they get their help and how then they spend their money at the small businesses to buy the things that they need. And
yes.
And the restaurants, you know, several of them can reopen in a limited capacity tomorrow.
Yes, well, she expanded the extreme risk list by a few more counties, too. So in 25 counties, I think they don't even have that option in Oregon. They're ordered to be locked down still.
Wow.
OSHA's also set a lot of rules out until next summer already anyway, preemptively kind of paving the way for Governor Brown continuing this all through next year.
You know, I always thought it was tied to, and I joked a little bit about an election infection, and this somehow was tied to, but regardless of who is there on January 20th, who is resworn in, Trump or Biden, these are the things she's planning on doing no matter who is president. And it's very troubling to me for Oregonians and the survival. And we don't even know, have you been able to research any of the other effects of COVID, like depression, suicide, mental health things at all? Is that information out there?
Those numbers are out there, and people are starting to look at them. And the numbers on like education, how many kids are not showing up or just failing everything right mm-hmm. now is not even being reported. So we can kind of assume the worst for a lot of these things. The depression and suicide rates and substance abuse rates are already up. It's been reported.
Well, and I know in that area of the substance abuse, you know, so many folks have done well to gain sobriety for many, many years. Again, here's something else that they're not tracking. Mm-hmm. And they have support groups and they have, you know.
They're not allowed to meet right
and
now.
And now they can't meet. And Zoom meetings, I'm sorry, just don't do it. And when people are anxious and they can turn to alcohol and substances
and
or food.
Open.
And the adult stores, the marijuana stores, the liquor stores, all of those are open. Costco is open and all of these shopping centers, and yet the churches are closed or down to, how do you tell 25 people can come, the 26th person, nope, you can't. I mean, how does that work?
It seems like it'd be easier for everybody to be social distancing if that works, if we were all just open back up everywhere again.
Yes.
We got all spread out a little bit.
And the question is this,
not be in lines.
If the mask works, how come our numbers are going up?
If
social distancing is working, how come our numbers are going up? Riddle me that.
Yeah, and if the lockdown worked, why are we doing it again? And if it didn't work, why are we doing it again?
Exactly. These are all things we scratch our head and think about all night long, right?
Now, there's a Kentucky, there's a bunch of businesses, restaurants in Kentucky that have pledged to just open at half capacity, ignoring their mandates from their officials,
mm-hmm.
and they've pledged to just say, hey, we're going to be safe, but we're opening and we're just not going to have any more orders from you.
I love it.
Some people need to do a similar thing here in Oregon. Maybe we just need to all pledge to be open.
My understanding is that there's some plans developing and some initiatives happening where alliances and coalitions mm-hmm. are building and fundraising is happening to push back.
Interesting.
And I think that's exactly what needs to happen along
yes.
with, and I want to ask you, when we get into the next hour, I have a couple more questions for you. We're going to continue this conversation into hour two, but I am interested in knowing if you've been to some of these celebrations or protests, in a sense, on conservative liberty areas, and I want to talk to you about some strategy and some ideas that I have as we move into this next hour. Are you willing to stick around with me?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, you're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Want to remind you, friends, that we have an opportunity here in the next couple weeks to really get behind our nonprofits and our area. You know, they've really struggled with trying to fundraise during this particular time with COVID-19 and the freezes and the lockdown. Many of them had fall fundraisers and banquets and things that they've always done in the fall to help them as they prepare for not only the holiday season, but the first of next year. Usually the winter is a challenge for most nonprofits. And I want to encourage you, and I want to say thanks to some of you that have given me some suggestions. We want to honor and highlight some of these nonprofits. So send me an email, Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y, at kslm.news. Or you can give me a call here at the studio, 503-316-1220. Leave me a message or leave it with Katie at the front desk, and we will certainly follow up with those nonprofits and put them on our list. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Wednesday and every day. We'll be back for hour two coming up.
And thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacey Ann.
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Together on this Wednesday, the 2nd of December, and if it's your birthday today, I wish you happy birthday. It's my friend Lee Hache's birthday today. Oh, happy birthday to you, Lee. You have been a guest on my radio show before, and certainly you are the inspiration and such a blessing to Answer the Call International. You were the single mom who had the vision to come alongside a pastor and his orphanage in India. And in 2013, I had a chance to go with you and your team to do ministry there in India and learn so much about what it means to give to those that are so needy. And I never experienced being around a leper before. I'd never watched just the true compassion. It was almost like that Calcutta, you know, Mother Teresa experience that I'd always longed for as a child, never knew I'd have an opportunity to get. And Lee, you just have brought so much help and hope to so many people internationally. And I just say to you, happy birthday to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, together. And we're having a discussion earlier last hour. We were talking about kind of what's going on in Oregon and nationally, and how do we kind of weed through the minutiae of all the information coming towards us, and how do we fight back against the fact checking? And we've had a great opportunity to bring in Ben Fisher. Thank you, Ben, for being here this morning and going into hour two. And we talked about this new effort that's going on, and we want our listeners to connect with this new effort online. And it is it's like a newspaper online, more or less, right? But it's contemporary, and yet it's factual. And you are getting all kinds of a response growing on looking at what's happening in our community and kind of poking a little bit about and getting us to think and to question some things. And I like that about what you're doing. And it's called, what is it called again?
NorthwestObserver.com.
Okay, NorthwestObserver.com. I encourage our listeners to go there and sign up for the email. You can get the little stories every day, right?
Very handy.
Very handy, and it's growing, and we want to tell our friends and family, and we've been sharing, I've been sharing a lot of the, in the morning, like you, I think there was a story about how the numbers have shifted, and how I think there was something recently about COVID, and I don't know, and there's, every day I get so much stuff, but I don't know if that's something you wrote on, or.
Oh gosh, yeah, but the COVID stuff, oh gosh, they keep
changing
a lot
it, the
of
rules.
How they're reporting, mm-hmm. and it's hard to keep up with all that.
Well, and when they showed this map this morning, and I've been looking at maps because of all the electoral votes and everything going on nationwide. And when I saw this map, I was like, wow, there's a lot of red on that map. And it wasn't because of Republican. It was because these are all the areas that are extreme. Is that what she's calling it now? Extreme.
High tests anyway.
So. Yes. And my question, Ben, on this COVID, riddle me this on this as well. Who's getting tested? Where are they testing? Do you know? Have you had a chance to look at that? Because anybody that I know, and of course, granted, I've only been back, you know, not quite a year. So, but I don't know a lot of people going and getting tested. So when they come out with these numbers of 1,600 new cases, where are they getting tested?
Well, they're ramping up the testing as much as they can. Kate Brown says she'd like anybody to just go in and get a test that can. And I think you almost can. I think you can request a test through your doctor, through OHP or whatever, and it can happen. There's some level of prioritization, I think, but if you're concerned about it, I think the sick people would be the only people that are truly concerned. If you actually get sick, you might want to get yourself tested for.
Well, I wondered if they're doing mandatory tests like in correctional facilities, and because it seems like the infection.
I can report they're not doing it there.
Okay.
It seems in the correctional facilities, we had a lot of problems earlier on, but it's kind of flatlined now. It's like we flattened the curve.
Mm-hmm.
There has been some deaths in the correctional facilities and whatnot, but there may be herd immunity going on there.
Oh, okay. So certainly there is some areas, and we know that in the canneries, do they call them canneries anymore? The food processing places, there has been some infection, like in the Newport area and up in Astoria, I think, and even in Portland, which makes sense. And you got so many people together. But I know the times that I've been in the Newport area and some of the fisheries, whatever, I don't know what the proper name is, but where they're bringing in the fish and they're processing and all of that.
Yeah.
They have a tent and they're taking temperature and they're asking questions. They have a health person right as you go into work. I watched that. So that was early on, you know, and I'm sure that's continuing, but I'd be curious. I don't know if they tell you where these tests are coming from or how they get reported. I'm wondering if it's through the county health, how how they get the information. It'd be interesting if any of our listeners know this. You can inform us on that. You're welcome to join the conversation, 503-589-1220. But that, I don't know, maybe someone else has thought about that too. I'm wondering, where are these numbers coming from? And we also know that it's presumed. And the switch happened from confirmed cases to presumption, right? And it's all thrown in there. That concerns me. You know, it concerns me because what are they basing that off of?
And they're just using this crisis just to take away liberties. It's been a year. They have no other solutions but just to lock things down. It seems at the beginning of this, everybody was unsure. We were hearing of manufacturers creating extra ventilators and all this, and then you don't hear much of that anymore. Mm-mm. It's not about technology conquering this. It's just about letting the government have its way,
yes.
It seems.
And where do you think we go from here? I mean, we talked about...
People need to draw a line in the sand.
And do you think, you know, last Sunday, there was a group of folks that were on a sidewalk outside of an inspector's home in Silverton. There was a protest and it was friendly. I didn't hear of any homes destroyed or any cars bashed in.
Some
or
people
any fires
don't appreciate
the
doxing, and I've been doxed and stalked by Antifa a few years back because of our Trump support. But, you know, maybe that health inspector should have just said, hey, I don't want to go to the courthouse and give these guys the $90,000 fine. Why don't you do it, director of my, you know, hand it off to your boss.
Maybe
he should, that inspector should have made a...
Well, in my work in grassroots movement, right? And it's kind of a joke because before Obama was elected, you know, Obama, his only really service that he had done, he was a grassroots organizer, community organizer is what he was.
Organizer.
He never really even ran a business. He never you know, and yes, he had been in Chicago and had an elected position there, but really he hadn't ever done anything. He is a community organizer. And before he made it a bad thing and a bad, you know, kind of a negative feel to that, I was a community organizer.
Well, there's probably good community organizers and bad community organizers, according to what your vision is.
And the effort of organizing for change, right?
Yeah.
I've got books and books and books and plans and all of that, and to influence people. And in South Dakota, our issue was secondhand smoke.
Oh.
So here's the perception. The perception was in South Dakota, everybody smoked. You know why? Because everywhere you went, people were smoking. You went into the restaurants, you went outside. And I know it's hard for Oregonians to think about this because Oregon was way ahead of the curve on indoor air, clean indoor air. I mean, everybody looked at Oregon as an example. Mm. And this was a good thing in my mind. But in South Dakota, you saw it everywhere. So the assumption was everybody smoked. But when you took the survey, do you know it was less than 20%?
Huh.
80% of the people didn't. So when you looked at those stats and you flipped it and you developed a message around that, and the message was, think about in that small town, Wall, South Dakota. Everybody has probably heard of Wall, South Dakota, because there's signs all over, right? 800 people live in Wall, South Dakota, but it's a tourist town, so people come through. And so there's not a lot of options in the restaurants and things for first-time workers if it's year-round. You know, you think of the students working in the restaurant. Well, if it's smoke-filled, those students, what choice did? That's the only place to work. Mm-hmm. And they're getting the secondhand. So the kids got motivated. They got energized on the issue, and they started... influencing their muscle, even though they can't vote, they brought their parents with them, and it started bringing legislative change. So when you start writing, you start showing up at these public events, which we don't have right now, you start showing up at their homes, and you do it in a peaceful way, and it disrupts the neighbors are like, you know, because they have to live there all the rest of the year, right?
And, yeah, that was.
And people are starting to want to know who are these people that people are objecting to them, you know? And so that kind of pressure does make a difference.
It certainly does.
So when we talk about strategy, what are your thoughts on what we need to continue to do forward?
Well, most important thing is putting pressure during election time on the ballot, turning districts red here in Oregon. At least if we had a little bit of balance between the Democrats and the Republicans, there wouldn't be so much aggressive legislation that turns a lot of people off. If we had a minority, even instead of a super minority, us Republicans, we'd have a little bit of leeway with negotiating things in the legislature. So focusing on our own backyard, that's what I've always said ever since I was helping with Oath Keepers years ago, is if we focus on our own backyard and hold our own officials that are local accountable, everything else will fall back in line. But there is a lot to pay attention to on the local level.
And you said something very strategic right there, because this is something I think we can do, Ben, right now. Especially with what Kate Brown's doing, maybe we could try to get a hold of her, leave her a message. But you know, that's she don't care about us.
She thinks she's better than
But our local senators and representatives, it doesn't matter if they're Republican or Democrat.
They're more reachable.
They are. We need to put the pressure on them.
Yeah.
Especially if
state
there's going to be a
state
special session in December, especially with right around the corner, the long session. We need to be writing them. We need to be emailing them. We need to be calling them. And we need to say, look, this is affecting my neighborhood. This is affecting my neighbors. This is affecting us. And tell them why. And the local businesses, I heard. And I don't know if this is possible. And I'm not a negative Nelly, but I thought about developing a memorial page for all the businesses we've lost.
Yeah, it's sad. That's
start tracking
not
it.
Not a bad idea.
And a little paragraph, how long they were in business, how many, you know, employees they had. And we start a memorial, maybe this is something we can do online somehow, and start a memorial page.
There's
so many. And there are a lot. Mm-hmm. But we hear about them, but when we see them physically on a page, and it touches Oregonians all over because they have memories there, you know?
Yeah.
And so something like that, I think, would be instrumental in affecting change.
We might be able to save some of these, too, if officials at a city and county level want to put their foot down.
Well, and it's kind of like when the unemployment for 5 or 6 months, people didn't receive their unemployment. All of a sudden, they voted in a one-time $500 check. Well, it was interesting because I knew people who had been waiting and to receive anything, and this is supposed to compensate or help them. they never got the $500 extra check because they had to do something else, wait in line or whatever. So it feels like the remedy and the help isn't effective. It's not in an effective way.
The government asks for you to demonstrate need. So they like needy people.
Mm-hmm.
A government big enough to provide everything is a government big enough to take it all away.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. And really, we need to get back to work, and we want to do our own work and provide for our own families.
Yes.
And do the right thing here in Oregon. And I believe there's a majority, even though we've been kind of quiet, too quiet perhaps, I think there's a majority of us that are waking up and saying, it's time. It's time to do this now, right?
I think it's happening.
We're continuing the conversation after this. You're welcome to join in. 503-589-1220. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM.
Good morning.
You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann, together with you on this fantastic Wednesday. And we're continuing the conversation this morning. I got Ben Fisher here in the studio, and Ben is bringing me up to date on all kinds of things here in Oregon. As you know, I am new here, back here, graduated from high school, and got to vote my 18th birthday. I did vote for the president, you know, here, turned 19 in 1988. That election, and then left. And you know, the crazy thing about Oregon for me has been how they do the voting, because I remember, and I always thought all these years, it's so cool to go in and go into a booth, and it's all so secretive. And certainly, you know, I pull the curtain behind me and I get my ballot out and I just feel like I'm participating. And then you put it in this is how it was in South Dakota. You put it in this metal thing and then you slip your ballot into the box and everything's all official and you have to show your ID. And then they say, Stacey, you know, Republican, and they call it out loud because there's poll watchers and everything's so official. And oh my goodness, you come to Oregon and they mail you the ballot, and yes, you sign, you know, sign for it or whatever, but it's so impersonal. And it's so, you know, I have to drop it off. I drop it off at the county courthouse because I'm not going to trust the mail. I can't even trust the mail to send a birthday card in time to my kids. And when I send it ahead of time, how am I going to trust them with my
Find a drop box. They're fairly secure. There's a few drop boxes.
Right.
Around.
And so when you think about the 30 years that they've been doing, or however long, has it been
so
about
1995. 30?
Oh, yeah. They've been doing the 25 years. They've been doing the mail-in ballot. And where we're at on the landscape of the supermajority, we talked about that a little bit, and the super minority, mm-hmm. what that means, and of course our listeners are they smart, and they mm-hmm. probably you could probably tell the story better as a listener than I. What that means is everything that happens at the State House is kind of like a staged play, really, because you propose things, our Republican colleagues could propose things and try to get testimony and all of these things towards action that could make a difference to represent their district. And guess what? They don't have the numbers. And a lot of times it's shut down. Mm-hmm. And it is not a true republic, you know, a form of government here where you're representing the people that elected you.
There's a lot of imbalance here. Mm-hmm. We only have a few tools as the super minority party. Running initiative petitions is one tool that we do have.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and one of the things that is so effective on initiative petition is you have an opportunity to draft your message,
yep.
get it out to the people, and then you need your army of people to show up. And I think that there's been a lot of momentum and a lot of effort in the last year and a half in regards to some of these extreme bills that have been passed that are affecting families. And that was all before COVID, right?
Yes. Governor Brown even made an executive order on the carbon tax that she'd like to implement.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty tyrannical here. We need to see some change.
And when you think about this proposed 800% increase in tax on alcohol, did you see that's something that's been floating, another rumor that she's looking to come after taxing alcohol? You know, we already have an incredible amount of taxes. It seems like if it moves in Oregon, there's either a fee or a tax, even putting a little raft in the creek.
Yeah, well, it's not unheard of for the folks in the metro to just pass every tax that they see on their ballot, but people need to be a little bit more measured in their response to things like that. They mm-hmm. need to consider these all. And maybe even if you're a Democrat, maybe you need to consider not voting for some of these taxes because there's not a lot of oversight on how they're pushing these things through.
Yeah, it's troubling. And I saw a news story this morning. I don't know if you had a chance to see this, but it said, talked about how the distillers here in Oregon are asking for federal relief because mm-hmm. of all of the regulations and things that Oregon is putting on them. And they're a difficult place in regards to their ability to do what they do, you know, and you think about all the people they employ. And certainly I know even in our area, and we have had some of our sponsors, you know, that can't sponsor anymore because they're not open and they can't do their work, you know.
Yeah, I can think of a few of them, sadly.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so, again, we want to encourage people to be a part of the process and things that we can do. We know that we can write our local elected officials and let them know what personally, tell them your story.
If
you don't, stay in touch and let them know that you're tracking what they're doing and that you want them to represent. And I think this could be a challenging year if they keep the State House closed, the People's House closed, and we can't interact or show up to hearings and those kinds of things. That's going to be a little bit of a trouble, I think.
It is. Well, our monuments in front of the Capitol were vandalized half a year ago, and there's been nothing done to address that yet. They're sitting down there tarped up, and the whole area is just taped off. And
it kind of looks war-torn a little bit down in that area, mm-hmm. and it is sad. And even though we've had some great rallies down there, and we've done some open-up
yes,
type things, and certainly the Thanksgiving dinner that we had last week was a phenomenal turnout,
awesome.
Even in the rain and the cold, and a lot of volunteers participating. It was good. And I think Oregonians are willing to start standing up, don't you?
I think so. It's got to happen. The pendulum will swing the other way. We seem like an odd animal in the landscape of American politics right now in Oregon, but we're not going to stay this way.
We've got to come together and we've got to make a plan. And I believe the leadership in the Republican Party are starting to put some things together and they're starting to announce ways that we can take this energy and use it for good and to exert a little pressure. And I'm excited to find out more about what this looks like. And certainly there are a lot of grassroots coalitions happening. We had a gentleman on the air just a few days ago, Justin from the Eugene area, who said he's opening up his business. He is the only employee. There really is. He's looked through all the regulations. There's really nothing that they can get him on. He's going to go ahead and be brave and bold and open up.
Excellent.
And I think getting behind the courthouse and the effort there, there's a couple other gyms that have decided to remain open, and they're under a threat of huge fines. There's people starting GoFundMe accounts. There's ways that they can we can get involved. And I think the best method is go and sign up for a membership. We need to stay active anyway.
Yes.
So we are talking together this morning on what we can do together to affect change in our area. We want to open up the phone lines, 503-589-1220. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We'll be back after this.
Happy dance. Hello, good morning, how you doing?
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day this morning.
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann, glad to be hanging out with you on this wonderful Wednesday. Encouraging you to go to our Facebook page, KSLM Radio. We've been sharing our Jeff Krupp's show plan and his early morning show on our Facebook page, and also certainly links to nonprofits and ways that you can stay engaged and involved. And I want to remind you, they're still looking for volunteers to help with the toy drive at Salvation Army. We did a great job. We raised about $1,000 yesterday on the day of giving. Thank you so very much. And Salvation Army, you can give them a call. You can give Jason a call, 503-798-4876. They're going to do their outreach on the 12th of December. And there's some other days after that, too, up until Christmas, and they need our help. So let's help them out if you're looking for something fun to do. And I want to say thank you to Bill Sunderland, Country Financial Sunderland Agency, for being a morning show sponsor. If you need any help, maybe you want to reevaluate your insurance. Maybe you've gotten some notices that they're going up. Maybe you want to look at that and get it reevaluated. Give Bill a call, 503-885-0789, sunderlandagency.com. Well, we talked about last segment, we're going to open up the phone lines and talk with you and get some insight on what we're talking about this morning. And we've got, I believe we have Rebecca on the line with us today. Is this you, Rebecca?
Yes, you do.
Oh, good morning to you. Thank you for joining the conversation today.
It's always a question in your mind because my husband's name is on the phone.
I know, and so I changed it right here in my little phone thing that I app that I have on. I'm like, I think this is Rebecca, so here you are.
I haven't listened to your entire program, but in the time I've been listening, I've been feeling like I wanted to give a couple of things that have bothered me for years.
Mm-hmm.
And early on, I was doing signature collection on the street for various petitions, and it began to really bother me that people could walk up, and I didn't know them from anybody, and they could fill out a voter registration paper, and at the end of the day, I would take maybe four or five of them to the office and walk in and hand them to them, and they would walk over to a machine and go clunk, 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 and I would say, are they registered now? And they would say, yep. And it began to bother me because I thought, well, anybody could do this. Anybody could bring any number of them in that are unknown, and they're instantly registered. And then what? You don't even know if they're citizens.
Right.
Anyway, years later, when I began to go to the Capitol because of Jeff Krupp's began the organization called Oregon Citizens Lobby.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to hear. I just, God led me to so many things at the Capitol. And one of the hearings I just happened across was the Multnomah County elections clerk was testifying that 10,000 voter registrations had been given to him on the day before the ballots went out. And that was when Obama had been elected. And I thought, oh my goodness, that's Acorn.
Mm.
Acorn brought 10,000 ballots, 10,000 registrations. And the county clerk was saying, we need to do something to change the Oregon method because I can't process 10,000 voter registrations in one night, right on the day when the ballots are going to go out.
No kidding.
My point being that I think there are forces behind the scenes that can manipulate this method that we have, and it was handed to us as a supposed convenience, but it truly was not given to us for the convenience. It was given to us for the ease of manipulation behind the scenes.
Do you believe, Rebecca, that maybe all these years and we're kind of been testing ground for what we're seeing playing out nationally?
I don't like to say testing ground because of the of the history of the Democrat Party.
Mm-hmm.
The Democrat Party, from its very inception, was filled with all kinds of corruption. You go back and you try to find information about the Democrat Party, and right from the beginning, you find people objecting to how corrupt their politicians were, and there are major corruptions of the election process all the way back. The largest corruption of the election process in history to this date was the Democrat Party trying to get President Lincoln not elected to the second term.
Mm-hmm.
And they used the military vote in their scam. And that one, by God's grace, was unearthed. And and they got prosecuted for that.
And here we are all these years later, nationally, under time is not working on our side right now. And there is such a, as we move towards the 14th of December, when the Electoral College comes together, I think this next week is going to be critical on a national level. But again, here in Oregon, you know, each county, each district, you know, there, when you look at the numbers and break it down, it doesn't add up. There's scrutiny to be had, and I believe our mail-in voting here has been manipulated for many, many years, keeping Republicans completely locked out of the whole system. And it's interesting that you would stumble, because of your willingness to be a citizen activist, in a sense, and engaged in the process, which we all need to be. You stumbled on this years ago, where they were having issues in Multnomah County, and here we are. It's still not fixed, is it?
Well, my brother, who has never been political, I have never been able to engage him in any political discussions, in this election went to the actual numbers that the government is putting out. He's a way better mathematician than I am. And he just came up with the fact that there's way more Republicans have registered to vote, but somehow Democrats won everything.
Hmm.
And the numbers don't match up in terms of how many people voted and how many voters, how many registrations there were. So
that's incredible. And when you think about that and being able to bring that attention to somebody with the state house closed down, and even with our long session around the corner, how are the people going to get the information they need? Because everything we know about holding our elected leaders accountable and being able to go to committee meetings and bill proposals and stuff, if that's all on Zoom meetings and we're locked out and can't get in, that's troubling to me. How about you? What do you think?
Well, as I was down at the Capitol with Oregon Citizens Lobby, I ran across so many things that troubled me. One of them was one day when there was a rally for single payer. Single payer is when they want the government to be in charge of every decision as to whether a person will receive medical care. There's no, it makes it illegal to have any other person pay for any medical care. So it literally puts you at the mercy of the government.
Wow.
And they were having a rally. A bunch of people were there. And I thought, what can I do to alert these people to what the government wants to do? So I grabbed a pile of papers that I had run off that showed a baby being aborted, if four pictures of a baby being aborted for a DME. And the baby is like 5 months along. So it actually is a baby being killed.
Mm.
And its arms and legs being ripped off. And I thought, this will convince them. So I went around to the people at the rally, and I was showing them the page and offering them a page and saying, the government is already doing this to babies, and we are paying for it. And if you do single payer, it's going to make the government that's already paying for this baby to be killed. It's going to put them in charge of whether you get medical care. And they were shoving me away and not interested at all. And I finally came to this one woman, and she took the page, and she said, is that what this is all about? She said, I don't even know what I'm doing here. I just got a call from the union, and they said, be ready at 7. We're taking you to the Capitol. She said, I don't even have the faintest why I'm here.
Whoa. Wow. Anyway,
what the government does is bust these people in and have a rally, and then they go to the hearings and they hand them a script, and and they read their very personal story that's not really their personal story. they don't have the faintest what they're doing there.
And they're revealed. They're being revealed every single day that this is some sort of bigger plan, a paid plan, motivation through the unions here in Oregon. And it's time for the people to wake up. If you're working in a job that has the option to opt out of those kinds of things, I just learned recently that there is the option to opt out of a union. I thought because years ago when my first job working in the grocery business at 16, I couldn't figure out why I had to be a part of a union at 16 and pay this extra money. I needed money for college, you know?
people should opt out and save that money.
Save that money, exactly.
It's
Rebecca,
just going to go to Democrat candidates.
And then they use it to keep their positions within the state government and their influence. So, Rebecca, thank you so much for joining the conversation this morning, and I wish you a wonderful Wednesday. Call back again soon, okay?
Thank you so much.
Thanks,
right.
Rebecca.
You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Ben Fisher and I hanging out today talking about what's going on here in Oregon and what we can do to make the changes needed. We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning.
Wake up to a brand new day.
This morning.
Stepping on my way.
Good morning.
And good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. In the studio with me, Ben Fisher.
Morning.
So glad to have you along, Ben, and the time goes really fast, doesn't it?
Yes,
it
does.
We've covered a lot of ground this morning. And I want to talk a little bit about, as we move towards the next election cycle, talk to us about 2022. What do we have to look forward to?
Well, I've heard that Republicans are due some gains nationally and locally if we work hard at it. So there's not really any candidates announced yet, as far as I know. Bud Pierce announced the other day, and sadly, his wife's death.
If you're just
day.
Yeah, if you're just tuning in and hadn't been listening, first hour we had talked about, and you probably saw on the headlines that Bud Pierce's wife Selma had passed away yesterday.
So
we're keeping the Pierce family in our prayers. And he had just announced 2 days ago that he is going to rerun. Last time he ran against Governor Brown.
He did.
And now it'll be an open seat, my understanding.
Yeah, so it won't
because
be Kate Brown.
It won't be Kate Brown, so it'll be open seat. So I'm guessing it'll be a big primary on the Republican side and probably on the Democrat side. Who's going to,
probably,
you know,
looking that way. And we haven't gotten any announcements, really, as far as I know yet. But they're coming soon, I'm sure.
In this legislative, this next session is going to be a long session. And so some of the issues, certainly dealing with budget deficit because of COVID-19 and the business shutdown, the tax revenue, and all the increased expenses because of the pandemic, or I like to call it the plandemic. And then also redistricting.
Yes.
You know, because the census happened, and I know I didn't hear the fallout or if there's been a decision made, but I know at the Supreme Court level they were talking about with the census, you know, do you count the illegal citizens or not, or non-citizens, illegal folks in our country in the numbers or not, et cetera. And I don't know if there's been a decision there, but certainly that ripples down and flows down to Oregon and redistricting. And as we know, Oregon is one of those states that said they're kind of a sanctuary for these folks coming in, right?
Yeah.
Because of our governor, you know, and local elections, state elections, national elections, they have consequences, don't they?
They do. Mm-hmm. We all have to live with the consequences after the elections.
But don't disengage folks, right?
Nope. It's important to keep the pressure on. It's not going to be this way. The government belongs to those who show up.
Yes.
And if they have a bus project busing in people, then we need to get our people to show up.
And we need to stay connected. And there's a huge effort online. And technically, back in 2004 in South Dakota, that's when the 2004 race was really influenced by the online presence. There were a lot of blogs. Bloggers started. We started going and learning about these things through the internet and ways to find the information we needed, because the mainstream media, even way back then, this was in South Dakota, I'm sure it's true here, they weren't getting us the information. Now, all of those sources of information we've come to rely on to get information to one another and communicate is being hindered by censorship and the council and moderated, even our emails. So we're looking for ways to stay connected. And maybe it's the old school way, but I think radio is still good. And
yes. This
online, going to a website is still good to get your information and get an email sent. So let's talk about the Northwest Observer.
Sure.
And how people can get engaged with your articles. You write daily. They write daily articles.
Yes.
How can they get involved there?
Go to northwestobserver.com, sign up for our daily emails. You'll see good, reliable sources put out every day covering Oregon news and Pacific Northwest news. We don't cover a lot of national stuff, but it's important to pay attention to just what's going on here. There was some stuff we cover nationally.
What I love about this is here in Salem, particularly, it's hard to grab local news. And that's what I love about this radio station. We're grabbing local, what's happening right here in our area in the Pacific Northwest. It's hard. And I love this effort that you're doing, and it's very attractive. Northwest Observer, it kind of has a newspaper feel online. Mm-hmm. It's very, very good. And so they can put their name in, enter in their email, and get updates as well, and look for articles. And it seems like if you can find an article online to reinforce your position, when you share on Facebook something, you know, you make a statement, and then you have an article to back it up with, it seems to help with our persuading the persuadables.
It does, and it's there, and it's sourced, and it's a good jumping point for that information to people to work off of. And we try to keep a lot of our opinion out of it. It does come in into some stories through all media, but you know, people should be drawing their own conclusions from the information that they're seeing coming out from the media. And you can't rely on the mainstream media for truth.
Well, and even the whole movement away from Fox News in the last 3-4 weeks, it's been incredible,
right?
Because I'm like, whoa, that was on Fox News? Whoa, you know, and it's interesting because here at the station, we just signed on for a 1-year contract to have Fox News be the top of the hour Fox News, and there's no getting out of that. And so it's frustrating to me because this whole movement nationally where they're saying president-elect, it's not been certified. It's not official yet. And yet if we hear it enough, we'll just accept it.
People need to learn how to be smart enough to not— You know, they need to read between the lines of what the media tells them. So in that regard, it doesn't matter what Fox is saying or CNN is saying or MSNBC is saying. You need to learn whether it's to make up your own mind of whether they're speaking the truth or whether it's propaganda.
They used to say, you know, we report and you decide. You notice they don't say that anymore?
No, they like to give out an opinion.
And they tell you how to think, mainstream media. And we're the rebels. We're not going to do it. We're going to do our own fact checking and stay connected. So get involved with Northwest Observer. Go to the website northwestobserver.com. And I'm speaking slowly, Ben, because I've had people say I talk way too fast. So I'm trying to talk slower so you can grab onto that information. And certainly send me an email, Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y at KSLM.news if you need more information. Ben, I've enjoyed my time hanging out with you today.
Thank you so much, Stacey. It's been great.
Especially as we get into the session and start moving, maybe you can pop over and talk about some of the issues that are happening.
Yeah,
kind of be like our
again.
Analysis, you know, what's happening and how we need to get activated and involved. And I love that stuff. Oh man, it brings me back to the day when we were, you know, rallying at the Capitol in South Dakota, and to do that here.
I look forward to more of it.
We'll have fun. Yes. So thank you for being here, and thank you for the writing that you do, and congratulations on the baby that's due within the next
December
month.
December 31st.
Oh, how exciting. You'll have to keep us posted about that as well.
I sure will.
Greetings to your beautiful wife, and you have a fantastic Christmas season, okay?
Merry Christmas, Stacey.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. So you're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We've been having so much fun hanging out with Ben this morning, talking about the issues here at home, how we can stay engaging and involved, and that really is what it's all about, that we do our part, we stay informed, we stay grounded in the facts, and we don't let the fear consume us, because as the media keeps talking about all this stuff going on nationally, I know it's easy to be a little overwhelmed. And we're going to stay focused on the good things and the facts, right, friends? Have a wonderful Wednesday. Remember, no matter what we're facing today, over, under, around, or through, you and I, we're overcomers. Have a blessed day.